Oh Jesus, you are worthy of our praise. Unto you shall all this gathering be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You reign forever. Thank you, Most High God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that your presence saturates this whole place. Your presence saturates this whole place. And all the glory is yours today. Thank you. Your presence is so sweet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of God. Receive all the glory. Receive all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. The church is dead. Hallelujah. So we began a series late last year on sanctuary protocols, and we went on hold as we entered the new year. It was expedient that we elaborated more on the theme that God had for us this year. And it has pleased the Lord that we continue with the series on sanctuary protocols. So I'm teaching you today on sanctuary protocols. And I'm going to do my best to give you a recap on the last teaching that we did last year. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the verse 15 is the theme scripture for this series that we are dealing with. Apostle Paul was speaking to his son in the Lord, Timothy, and he said to him, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Now, it's very interesting. I read it again so it sinks deep in your spirit. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself," which means there is a behavior in the house of God that every child of God must understand. When you go to a palace, there is a behavior, there's a protocol that governs the activity of that palace. When you go to any meeting that is not a church meeting, there is a certain protocol that governs it. When you go to a nightclub, there is a protocol that governs it. So Apostle Paul was telling his son Timothy that if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how to behave thyself in the house of God. Why? Because the house of God is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. So there is a protocol in the sanctuary of God. Now, if you've been here with us for some time, we have explained to you that we need to understand the church in three dimensions. The believer individually as a church. Your body is the temple of God. Your body is God's church. So the first dimension of church is your body. It's God's building where you host the presence of God. Number two, we speak of the local church, which is a body of believers who meet in a locality to serve the Lord. Then also we have the universal church, which is the entire body of Christ, which is called the mystical body of Jesus Christ. So if you want to understand church, we understand church as an individual, church as a locality, and church universal. So when God is looking at church, he sees it from these three perspectives. And if God wants to do anything, we need to understand how church functions I can tell you on authority that not every believer who comes into a church meeting will receive from God. Now, it's very important to understand this. You can come to church and live the same. Very possible. Someone says, how is that possible for me to come to church and live the same? Very possible. Number one, for example, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Which means one of the protocols of behaving yourself in the house of God is to believe in what you are doing. Because without faith, it's not possible to please God. Which means there are believers who come to God and don't actually believe what God can do in their lives and what God is doing in their lives. And the Bible says because they don't, they cannot have rewards. Remember, he says the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there is diligence in seeking God. There is diligence in serving the Lord. There is an effort that you need to put in place to be able to receive rewards in the house of God. Now, we also need to understand that the closest on earth to heaven is an anointed church meeting. Which means that we are not literally in heaven yet. But if we want to experience that kind of heaven that we are going to experience in the future, temporarily on earth, the closest to it is an anointed church meeting. Which means that in every anointed church meeting, there is a certain atmosphere and presence which is the closest to heaven on earth. What am I sharing with you? What I'm trying to tell you is that when we meet in church, we actually meet in heaven. And I can give you scriptures for that. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, the verse 22 to 24. You see, most of you think we are meeting in Hacho. And that's the error. Our meeting is not a meeting in Hacho. It's a meeting in Zion. And if you don't have that consciousness, can I go deeper? When you serve God, you serve God with revelation, with insight, and with deliberate consciousness. So if your consciousness is not deliberate, if you don't have a revelation of why you are serving God, you will not get anything from it. I've heard Christians say, I've served God all these years. I've not seen anything. It is possible you won't see anything because of your attitude. I have seen people who are going through the most difficult problems. They are the people who don't worship. I've seen people who have more issues than any other. Yet they are the same people who sit down looking at the face of the pastor and the worship team when we are worshiping. And I'm like, do you really understand yourself? Unfortunately, I understand that you don't have a certain understanding. That's why you're behaving the way you're behaving. Because if you have a proper understanding of the presence of God, there is a protocol. By the time we are done with this series, you understand what worship is not and what a worship service is not. I've seen all kinds of things. I recently saw one of these worshipers worshiping in a worship concert. And someone took a bundle of money whilst worship was going on and was counting money on the one worshiping. I was very surprised. Someone is leading worship and someone takes a bundle of money, climbs the stage and counts the money on the worshiper. Now, what is happening here? That was not worship. That was a performance. Because when people understand what it means to be in the presence of the mighty one, they will change the way they behave.
I've seen people having conversations and laughing whilst worship is going on. It's because we don't understand the protocols of the sanctuary. That's why I'm taking my time to teach you about sanctuary protocols so that you can receive all that God wants to give to you per service. Hear me carefully. No service is the same. Any service you miss, you will never encounter it again until God explains to you what happened when we get to heaven. So the service we had last Sunday is not the same service we had this Sunday. Don't be deceived, because God is very prophetic in his dealings. There are things he would do today, he wouldn't do tomorrow. There are people who have missed their appointed seasons. Why? Because they didn't understand the operations of God. Please listen to me carefully. Now, anytime we approach God's presence, our attitude towards that privilege must be totally sacred and holy. I'm teaching over here. It must be what? Sacred and holy. The next thing you need to understand also is that every church service is a heavenly family meeting. It's a heavenly family meeting. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, the verse 14, you will understand that God has one family in two locations. God has one family in two locations. He has a family in heaven and he has a family on earth. It's one family, but they are living in two locations. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the verse 15, of whom the what? Oh, church, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So, God has one family living in two locations. So, anytime we have a church service, those two families join to have fellowship. Have you noticed that you have a relative who is staying in the States, and you are in Ghana? You may not be able to see him, but there is a technology that is designed called Zoom or WhatsApp video by which you can be able to communicate and have fellowship with that family member, though you are not in the same location. Are you getting that? That's what is happening to us. Anytime we meet in church, church was a technology designed by God by which heaven and earth, the whole family meets and fellowship. So you need to understand that there are different spirits in every service. That is why I said when you are in church, you are not in a lecture hall. So behave well. Abraham may be sitting beside you without you knowing. An angel may be standing beside you without you knowing. So don't be conscious of only the surrounding in these four corners. You must be deeply and highly spiritual to catch things in the spirit. I'm teaching with you. I'll give you a scripture to prove what I'm telling you, that we are not alone in this service. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, like we said from the verse 22, the Bible says, but ye are come to Mount Zion. So we did not come to Hacho. We came to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable one, company of angels. So anytime we meet in church service, there are innumerable company of angels. Hear me, by revelation, I'm telling you, in every church service, that God is there. The angels are more than the humans. The angels are more than the humans. As we are here now, the angels present here are more than we here. So the first we see is an innumerable company of what? Angels. Now look at the next verse. He says, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which means the entire church universal, both in heaven and on earth, meets together. So you have no idea that you are fellowshipping with Action Chapel without knowing. Do you know that in this ministry, we have cell groups, okay, by which we're able to. Every church we have, Action Chapel, Baker's House, in heaven, they are all cells. They are all cell groups. Am I teaching well? That's for another time. And the church of the firstborn, which are registered in heaven. Now look, and to, we have come to who? God, to the judge of all. So, the third reality of our meeting is that God is present. And he says, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Which means all the saints of old who died in the Lord are still alive and present in our meetings. I'm teaching good here. God is the God of the living and not the dead. So all those saints who are still alive in the Lord are still present in the meeting. I'm teaching good here. Remember the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. The Bible says, wherefore seeing that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. So we are not alone in a church meeting. And hear me carefully. A church building is a portal into heaven. A portal is a doorway or a gate into another reality. Any church building you see that has God in it, that building is a portal into another reality. Hear me carefully. You know, some times ago, when we thought that we're increasing in revelation, we said the church building is nothing, it's not important. What matters is that we are the body of, we are the temple of God. So this building is not important. Until us agree, you know, sometimes when you are still growing the Lord, you say some things. As you keep growing, you understand that some of the things you say are not exactly as it is. Listen to me. This physical building, as is here, it is not a normal building. Do you know that there is an atmosphere in a nightclub? And that nightclub is a portal into a demonic reality. So much so that anyone that enters into the nightclub may not say, I worship you, Satan, but he's actually having fellowship with Satan. Likewise, there is a certain atmosphere that you encounter in a church anointed meeting that you may not encounter when you're in the house. Have you noticed you'll be battling with lust? Anytime you enter church, the thing goes. When you leave the church, the thing comes again. So, just like the atmosphere in a shrine is not the same, that's why the atmosphere in a church building is not the same. That is why even after service, people still come and pray on the altar and have miracles. So your body is as important as the auditorium also you are worshiping in is important. I'm teaching good here. Sanctuary protocols. So there are spirits of just men made perfect. Jesus is in our midst. In fact, the 24 elders are with us in the meeting. The four living creatures are with us in the meeting. So you can imagine in this meeting, having this number of people here, in the realm of the spirit, there are more beings of God with us in worship. It's the first thing I want you to understand about sanctuary protocols, so you don't make the mistake of thinking you are in an ordinary meeting. Am I helping you? When you read the book of Revelation, especially from the book of Revelation chapter 4, the verse 1 to 11, you will notice that there is a certain protocol or behavior of angels in the presence of God. And if a believer can learn from them, they will learn very well. How do angels behave when they're in the presence of God? You see them kneeling. You see them bowing. You see them saying, you are worthy. Now, these are things that we are supposed to be learning, because they are directly in his presence constantly. We are there by faith. And God is saying that we can learn some of these realities from these beings who are in heaven. I'm teaching you here. Let me tell you something. This world is so much dark, demonized, saturated with the wrong things. So much so that you need to be very serious when you are in church, because you come to collect something to go and live life.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The last time we met, I used an example of a fetish priest and a shrine to explain how believers must have that consciousness also in the body. I think Prophet Ima, his father was an idol worshiper. So he gave us some few insights. You remember some of them? So take us 1 minute through the protocols of the sanctuary of your father. His father had a sanctuary. He had a shrine. What were some of the protocols? In fact, one of the protocols was that if he even fights with his wife, he must eat the wife's food. Praise God. So even if he's angry with his wife, he must eat the wife's food if he wants to go back to the shrine. Maybe you can quickly share.
So the moment you enter the shrine...
Come forward. Yes, no. Okay, you can climb up.
So the moment you enter the shrine, they have 20 laws.
20 laws. So the protocol of his father's sanctuary, which was designed by the idol, his father did not design it. That's why you need to understand that you don't determine how you behave in church. It is determined for you. So if you try to do what you want in church, there is no blessing in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the word of God teaches us the behavior in God's house. I'm teaching good here. So you are not supposed to take your slippers inside.
No.
All right, continue.
You dare not. And the moment you enter there and you are interacting or talking to the fetish priest, you don't stand whilst you are talking. You have to kneel down.
So if you are talking to the fetish priest, you don't stand. The fetish priest is not God, though. But if you are talking to him, you don't stand. You do what?
He is sitting down on the black chair, like a chair, and you will be kneeling in front of him.
So you will kneel down before you talk. Uh-huh, continue.
You can be 80 years, 100 years, you will kneel down.
So if he's 20 years old and you are 80 years old, because you came into his presence, you must put your age aside and kneel down. It's a protocol. Continue.
And you don't enter the temple without a sacrifice.
So anytime you enter the temple, there must be a sacrifice. And what were some of the sacrifices?
Oh, the sacrifices, depending on the gravity of your issue.
So, depending on how serious your issue is, you give sacrifice. Yeah. So, you can't give a lizard as a sacrifice.
Yeah.
If you have a big problem. Please continue.
So, I remember there was a time a man came with a very complicated issue with a kidney, and I remember my father told him to sacrifice a cow.
Okay.
That day, the whole week, we really enjoyed in the house. So you come with a cow, a fowl, a goat, a sheep, depending on how
so
serious.
So you, for example, if you didn't pray, the food you have eaten from the idol will collect everything from you.
Very too, plenty. He eats from morning till evening.
Okay, continue.
Okay, so there's some of the laws too. When you are fighting with your wife, you must eat her food. No matter how, like whether your wife is at fault or you at fault, you must
eat. Which means if you have a problem with your wife at home and you fought at home and you come to church, make up quickly before you sit down.
Yeah.
You see how the men are quiet here?
Yeah.
You see how the men are. If you have a problem with your wife because you are coming to God's presence, you say, baby, I love you, okay? Eh? We shall live together, okay?
Yes.
Just because of the respect for the altar you are coming into. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and if you're a lady too, and you are in your monthly flow, you can't enter the temple.
So if you are having your menses, you can't enter into the temple.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. So,
yeah. So you don't enter into the temple. The moment you enter, Papa, I forgot this. So if you are fighting with your wife and you enter the place without confessing, the gods will arrest you. So you collapse like you have failed under the anointing. So you don't enter the place with bitterness.
Hold on, don't go too fast.
Yeah.
This is a serious revelation.
Yeah.
Which means that if you mess, can you imagine that even the idol does not like sin? Yeah. Hey, so if you have a problem with your wife and then you don't confess it to the idol, say, Trabuzum. Pacho man shed on me name wife in your problem, but Cecilia no dear mamba unchain ti maybe be out to unchain. Before you do business, if you don't do it and you just come like that, the idol will arrest you and you'll be locked in the temple. Yeah. You can't go.
Yes.
Is that what I'm saying?
Yes, please. So unless your family member come and do sacrifice. So they'll come with a sacrifice before you be freed.
Charlie, you people are lucky. Like some of you, by the time we are 200, 150 people will be left in the auditorium and they are glued on their chair. They want to get up. They can't get up. Because Bonia, why are you on the table? Continue.
So anyone who is connected to the idol is called Jendu. Every month they meet. And as long as you are connected to that idol, you must be present in their meeting.
So you don't absent yourself in their meeting. They meet every month.
Yes. So if you are sick and you are dying, people come in a wheelchair. If you are sick and you are dying, you must come for the meeting.
My goodness.
You must be present in every meeting. And also, there is a law that states that if the idol does something for you, you must come with a thanksgiving seed. That like that what we call seed. It's a thanksgiving offering.
You are about to cross a road.
Yeah.
When you took the step, a car quickly came past like that. And yes. You noticed that God had delivered you from an accident. We are saying that when you are coming to church on Sunday, you come with a thanksgiving offering to come and thank God for what he has done for you. You see how most... Why were Nimki to audition? The things God has done for you that you have ignored him. Like by now, ask Pastor Sikapa. You see, when he got married, on the Sunday, they came with an envelope to come and thank God because marriage is war. So he's saying that, Lord, as you have seen me through this ceremony, see me through the life of marriage. That's what the Thanksgiving is saying. So most of you don't know that these are protocols we do. I'm giving you divine intelligence. Why certain things are working for some people and it's not working for some people? Please continue.
So, like, for instance...
God bless you for the offering. Buy 5 cities.
For instance, if you travel to maybe UK or outside the country... You must send you must send a family member to come with the offering. So that seed must come. Otherwise, you will start retrogressing. And the things that the idol has done for you is that they will just... I remember there was a man who bought a car and was doing very well when he got connected to the idol. And this guy refused to come and give thanks to God. I remember there was a time my father poured a libation, mentioned his name, and something really happened like that. Within less than 3 days, the guy came square zero. So they have to come there and apologize.
This is interesting.
Yes.
Listen, if as you are walking with God, you receive a new job, something you were not expecting to happen to you, maybe you were the first person in your family to ever get a visa. It's a blessing. If something happened to your life, you know this is not normal. This can be only God. There is a protocol of honoring God with an offering. I am teaching you something serious. Why the people of the world are receiving more results than the people of God? Satan comes to copy the things that God designed for Christians, and Christians have left it, and Satan's people are flourishing. Since you got that new job, you have never given God a special offering. You have never said, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. And you see, the thing is that whoever is thankful with little will also be thankful with much. And God is testing you. Are we learning?
Yes, sir.
Please continue.
So, Papa, the last one is that once you are connected to the idol, when you give birth, you must come and dedicate the child.
Where's Mr. Kweku? Okay. Yeah.
So I remember when I was young, when I got to, I think, you must dedicate, the dedication is in threefold. So the first 1 month, you will bring the child and they will give something to him in a liquid form. The child will drink it. When he's 6 months old, you come with another sacrifice, dedicate so, the child.
When a child is born, there's a sacrifice. When a child is 3 months, there's another sacrifice.
Yeah. And when a child is 3 years.
3 years.
Then the last dedication, they do the last dedication. So I remember when I was young, so they did it to me. So you come.
Ain't no problem.
So they will take a blade and they will cut here too.
Yeah.
Cut here too. Cut your back too. Then they will put something inside. It's a sign that they own you. You belong to them.
My goodness. So you see, when we are doing a dedication for a child, what we are saying is that we are telling the child or the parents that God owns them.
Mm.
Have you realized there's a scripture that said that the Lord knows them that is?
Mm.
There are things to prove that.
And Papa, all the children that, all the people who are connected to idol, they have a register. So you write your name, your date of birth, and everything is there. So I remember when I got born again, I was doing ministry. In a dream, the spirit appeared to me that now I don't want to serve him. I want to be a pastor as you watch and see.
Please, are you getting the protocol now?
Yeah.
So these things that we are doing in church, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
It's very, very, can we appreciate him? Come on. It was deliberate. I allowed you to understand some of these things. So you don't take what we do in meetings like this for granted. Am I helping someone here at all? Good. So now, there is, like I said to you early on, we don't determine how we serve God. It is God that determines how we serve him. Following? So what we are trying to say is that during those times when sacrifices were offered, it was God that determined which sacrifice, which means that God told Israel, if you're bringing me a sacrifice, I want a turtle dove or a ram or a sheep or a goat. Following? You cannot go and say you don't have a goat, so you want to bring a lizard or a mouse. When you bring a mouse, your offering will not be accepted. So many Christians come with their terms and they expect God to do something. Hear me carefully. You came here with a problem. You want that problem to be solved. And as you came, a worship leader or a man of God said, lift up your hands and let's worship. In your heart, I'm not in the mood. I came here for my problem to be solved. Your problem will never be solved. You know why? Because you disobeyed the protocol that causes men to flourish. I'm teaching God. So you decided to go according to your own way and what your emotions was telling you. Now this goes to church workers. No matter the problems you are going through, don't let it reflect in your service. There have been times I've had bad times, but I don't say because I'm in trouble or I'm going through something, I will not preach the way God wants me to preach. And so many of you give God attitude and mood swing when you're in his presence. I'm teaching God here. So many Christians give God attitude. God says, lift up your hands, give me that glory. Then your hands is down. I'm not in the mood. Do you know what you're doing? You are giving God attitude. Am I teaching one here? I want to simplify it. So we see the things we keep doing, expecting things to happen. Now, hear me carefully. The Ark of Covenant was in the house of Abinadab for 100 years, yet nothing happened. In fact, Abinadab's grandson was Uzziah, the one who touched the Ark and he struck him dead. And I'm not surprised. Because the ark was in his house for 100 years, he got familiar with the presence and thought, since the ark has been in my granddad's house, if it's going to fall down, I'm the best person I can touch it. And he went, he touched it, he was struck dead instantly. Because there are protocols. He did not obey protocol. Likewise, the same ark that was in someone's house for 100 years and nothing happened, entered into Obed-Edom's house, and in 3 months, the guy's life was changed. It was so much changed that David, the king, got envious and commanded them to bring the ark from his house. And the thing that David did after he received the ark was actually giving us a picture of what Obed-Edom was doing. When David took the ark, he started dancing, he started offering sacrifices, telling us that he saw what Obed-Edom did. That made him flourish. And David repeated the same thing. So Obed-Edom took the ark. He was worshiping. He was dancing before the Lord in the ark. He sanctified himself and his whole family. And God says, this is the attitude. Receive the benefits. Hear me. Most of you don't understand how kingdom works. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and all his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. Most of you are seeking for what is added instead of seeking first the kingdom. So the challenge with many Christians is that they want a solution, not knowing that they must do what they are supposed to do by protocol to have solutions. God does not work magic. Have you noticed every time I mount this podium, I am not under pressure? I am not under pressure to prophesy to you, though I'm a prophet. I'm not under pressure to work miracles. If you are sick and I lay hands on you, you don't get well. I didn't put the sickness on you. So I am not under pressure at any time. So listen to me. There's no pressure. Because God doeth those things. Some of you here are looking for healing, but you have bitterness in your heart against your family member, against your sibling. You have bitterness. You have not dealt with that bitterness. There was a time Reverend Eastwood was giving a testimony of how he came for a meeting and called out those who are sick. He prayed for all of them. All of them got healed. There was only one woman who had goiter on the neck. And he was asking God, why is this woman not healed? Because he was feeling bad about it. And the Lord says, don't feel bad. This woman is having bitterness against someone in the house. And the Lord said, if she doesn't forgive, it will still remain there. Can I shock you? The man of God told her the issue, why she's not healed, and immediately broke in tears, started weeping, and openly said, I forgive. The moment she said that, the goiter disappeared. So you see something, you are looking for miracles, but you don't want to obey protocol. You are looking for testimonies, but you don't want to do the things that sustain the oil and the presence. Now, there is a way we serve God, okay? Now, quickly put down some notes. How we serve the Lord. So that you understand. Now, what we are doing here is service. You listening to me is service. You praising God is service. So now listen to me. Number one, the first protocol about serving God is that we serve God with gladness. I'm teaching you so that you can live here every time with miracles. Psalm 100, the verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That is why we sing. It is a protocol. We don't sing because we just want to sing. Even if you don't know the song, learn it. Cram it. It is a protocol. We serve the Lord, number one, with gladness. So hear me carefully. One thing the presence of God does not like is moodiness. Like I'm teaching you something, you know? So you don't come to God's presence moody. You hurt God. You offend God. Anytime, listen, the Bible says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. So one thing that must reflect anytime we're in God's presence is the fullness of joy. You don't frown before God. In as much as you may be going through something, once you enter God's presence, you switch quickly, because we serve the Lord with gladness. Which means if gladness is not part of your service, forget about receiving from God. Number two, we serve the Lord with humility of mind. Acts chapter 20, the verse 19. We serve the Lord with humility of mind. Now, Apostle Paul said, serving the Lord. Come to the verse 18 so we can read it into the 19. And that when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. The word tears is intercession. That's what he meant. He cried, wept for the people's salvation. And with many tears and temptations. In context here, it's not a temptation to sin, but trials and persecutions. Which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So Apostle Paul was teaching us one of the protocols of serving the Lord. He says, serving the Lord with what? Humility of mind. Hear me carefully. When we come to God's presence, our titles and our age does not matter to God. You may be 70 years, but you are before the Ancient of Days. You may be the CEO of a company, but you are before the King of Kings. You may be the president of the nation, but the Bible says you are before the Lord who owns the whole earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So you are before a king, you are before a creator, you are before the all-powerful, all-knowing God. You are before the one who is eternal, having no beginning, having no end, yet is the beginning and the end. He is the one you are before him. So listen, we serve him with humility of mind. Go and check. I don't know your title yet, too, but the last time I checked, the 24 elders and the four living creatures, when they came before God's presence, the Bible says they cast their crowns. Which means they put their authority, they put their upliftment, their promotions, and their whatever they receive down in the presence of God. Hear me carefully. You have to abase yourself. You may be a big man, but as you enter the auditorium, an usher who is just 24 years will tell you, please sit here. Say, hey. Even my office chair can buy you. The Bible is teaching us how we serve the Lord. Now, if you are also a servant, okay, in the house of God, that doesn't mean you also disrespect people. Because Apostle Paul, who put Timothy in place, he told him to give reverence to elders. So don't lose guard and say, they said I can do what I want. Hey, sit here. You are done. You are done. So we serve the Lord with humility of mind. Don't feel so big in your mind when you are serving the Lord. Number three, we serve the Lord with fear and reverence. Hebrews chapter 12, the verse 28. We serve the Lord with fear and reverence. Now the fear here is not phobia that makes you run away from God. The fear here is not terror. The fear here is high respect and regard. High respect and regard. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Which means there's a way you can serve God which is not acceptable. Hear me carefully. It is not everything we do in church that is acceptable. It is possible one day we may be in church doing something and sweating. After the end, we'll get to know in heaven one day that what we did was not accepted in heaven. There are worship concerts that lasted for 5 hours that didn't have anything
doing in heaven.
So he says that we may serve God acceptably with what? Reverence and godly fear. So we serve God with all reverence and godly fear. I'm before a king. I'm before the creator. I'm before the God who has no age, ageless. The God who cannot be measured. If you have not seen coming to church, serving God as a privilege yet, you are still on your journey to know God. I'm telling you. It's a privilege we are all sitting here. Can you imagine when you have pride in your heart? What are you proud about? Because you don't even control your breath. You that is here today and tomorrow we hear you are dead. You that you sleep and you don't know what happens in your sleep. You can't even tell what will happen to you in the next 1 minute. And you are before God and you are casual. Hear me? The protocol of serving God is godly fear and reverence. Number four, we serve God in the spirit. Philippians chapter 3, the verse 3. We serve God in the spirit. Now he says, for we are the circumcision which worship or serve God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, I'm going to offend some of you, but that's my work as a pastor. Some of you, your posture in worship and praise is what it is because you bought a new dress. So you just come. And my heart is filled with thanks to you, oh God. They are actually displaying the dress. God alone. Actually, it's you alone, no? And my heart is, and she knows that, or he knows the video is also playing here, so people are monitoring it. Feel, then she's looking at the video, how many people are watching? Thanks to you, God alone. So now this one is your mirror. Have you noticed that you never dance when you are wearing an old dress? Have you noticed that you dance when your salary comes? I'm drawing your attention from somewhere. Because God knows that this dance is actually salary dance. I'm teaching you though. Some of you, your dance is because you found a new boyfriend. I'm teaching good. The day the boy will break your heart, will you worship the Lord? Hey. I'm teaching good here. What's the account? So, why did? The day you have broken heart, will you lift your hands and say, Lord, only you are God? The Bible is telling us that we serve God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus and having no confidence in the flesh. So your confidence in your service, we must find out whether it's in yourself. Some of you, actually, your worship is self-worship. Self-worship. Now, this is not to offend you, but it's to help you become alert. There is a group of people who are called media team. They have been given grace to take video when we are having an activity. Why? Because there are so many things Jesus Christ did. If there were videos, would have been edified. If there were audios, would have been edified. That's why sometimes in ministrations, in all the things that we do, we have teams that take videos. But hear me carefully. If you are among the congregation, you must be very sensitive. I've seen people taking videos during certain atmospheres when they were not supposed to be taking them. Having worship, warfare worship. You take a phone. 360 video. You just killed the anointing. I'm preaching Moses when you're in Jesus. He didn't like it. If you love it, you'll clap your hands to Jesus. You have no business in certain meetings taking video. Because agenda of the video may that you want to update your status. But at that time, God wants to give you something that will change your status. So updated status and upgraded status, which is more important. So one will last for 24 hours. I'm teaching you here. We worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. There are some, their dance is not dance, it is fooling. I'm glad we don't see that here. I'm telling you, I see some young guys come and dance, and their dance, they are breaking their way. Hey. What are you breaking? No, I saw one guy dance a dance. I was like, this is not spiritual. It's comedy. Just for attention. Listen, check your motive before you do spiritual things. So. Because not everything is accepted. I've seen people dance and they are dancing like Bobo Bobo, like this. They know what their agenda, they know what their botos is doing. They know the men they are. See, some of you, your botos can cause people to follow, I'm telling you. I'm talking to the ladies who don't wear bra and they come to church. There are some ladies who don't wear bra and they come to church. You are killing people here on earth. You don't need to go to heaven. When you go to heaven, all the angels will backslide. Please, when you are dressing, consider us and the angels. If not, some of us will come to church bowing down. We'll bow our heads. We bow down. Not because it's to the Lord, though, because we are afraid of what we'll see. Consider us. There are people who backslid when they came to church. There are churches, wives brought their husbands to church and their husbands committed adultery in church. Why? Because one young girl, her dressing caught the attention of the man and that was the end of the marriage. How do you come with your husband who never went to church? We are praising God and you, this young girl, your dressing was the reason why this man who has now come to know the Lord is falling. You are wicked. You don't like my message. The next time you look into a mirror before you come for service, ask yourself this question. Is this how Jesus would dress? Look yourself in the mirror. Is that how Jesus would dress if Jesus was you? Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are what? Necessary. Which means you are at will to dress the way you want to dress. Obey until so. But for the sake of the Lord, there are things we choose not to do. It's my time up. I have 2 minutes. Number 5. We serve the Lord with our hearts and our whole being. Deuteronomy chapter 10, the verse 12. We serve the Lord with our hearts and our whole being. Look, He says, and now Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee? So this is what God is requiring from us. But to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to what? Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So the fifth way of serving God is to serve him with the heart. Hear me carefully. We don't serve God with the hand. We don't serve God with the legs, which means the activity of your hand and the activity of your legs is only an output or only an expression of what is in your heart. The Bible says that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So God is looking beyond your heart and beyond your knees. You can be kneeling, but your heart is not right. There's a verse in 1 John chapter 4 that really ministered to me. I don't know how to say it in a tree, but it's in a song. Obika se odo nyankupon nanso otani nua oye otrofo so obika se odo nyankupon nanso otani nua oye otro. One more time, let's sing it. Besi obika se odo nyankupon nanso otani nua oye otrofo. Now it's in 1 John chapter 4. He says, if he says he loves God but hates his brother, the Bible calls him a liar. You know, some of you have kept people in your heart for the past 30 years. They are still in your heart. Some of you have kept people in your heart for the past 15 years and they are still in your heart. And you come to church every single time and say, Jesus, I love you. You can't see him. Some of you, the way you say, Jesus, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to know you. If you stay with Jesus for 1 week, you will run. I'm telling you, if Jesus should come and stay with you, you just think it's all about glory. Glory. If Jesus stays with you for 1 week, you will not be happy. You know why? Because the things he will demand from you, the things he will expect from you, you say, ah, Jesus, you run away from him. I'm telling you. So that Jesus, you are saying that you love him, you want to serve him, you have not even seen him, but the one that is sitting close to you, you've chosen not to love him. We serve God with our heart. Listen, as we are all here, God is checking all of us, our heart. It may be possible that it's only 10 people out of the numbers we have here who are actually serving God, who are actually worshiping, who are actually praising. Because if your heart is not in it, there's no benefit. Let me end this. Number six. We serve the Lord with fastings and prayer. I was shocked that the Bible said that in Luke chapter 2, the verse 36 and 37. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. He says, and she was a widow of about fourscore and four years, which departed not from the temple, but what? Served God with fastings and prayer night and day. Which means part of our service to the Lord is fasting and prayer. Part of the service of fetish priests is fasting and prayer. That's how they service the altar. Which means if you are a believer who hates fasting, you can't serve the Lord effectively. If you are a believer who doesn't like to pray, you can never serve God effectively. You know something? If you really want to serve God, at least if you are not having ulcer or a health condition, you are taking so many medications, you are supposed to fast at least twice a week. Just not because you have a problem. You want to have an even balance in your walk with God. You want to remain light in the spirit. You want your consciousness and your focus to be on the Lord. Put food away sometimes. Because you see, so much food, it defiles you. When too much food is in your system, it makes you forget God. That's why God warned Israel. When you have eaten and you have food, don't forget. Which means so much eating can make you forget God. Check the Bible. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says they rose up and they began to play and eat and drink. That's when all the fornication happened, when Moses went to the top. It was eating and drinking. Which means there is an aspect of your life. If you don't give yourself to prayer and to fasting, it is possible you play with your Christian life. I'm telling you. So we serve God with fastings and prayer. That's what Anna did for over 50 years. I'm teaching good here. Number 7, we serve the Lord sacrificially. And this is where my message may end. We serve the Lord sacrificially. You see, most Christians have not understood this aspect of God's service. I had the privilege of beginning to listen to certain people who give testimonies about how they serve Satan in the occult, in witchcraft, in marine worship, and all kinds of satanism. And I understood why when people enter into satanism, they become that powerful against Christians. The level of sacrifices. You know, in one of the occult meetings, one of the guys who confessed said, normally they had certain meetings at 1 a.m. And they got to the meeting at 12 a.m. Why? He said, when Satan has a meeting with you and you miss it by 1 minute, you die. Satan will kill you. 1 minute. So if the meeting is 1 a.m. and you can 1-1, Satan will kill you. That was his testimony. So they come there at 12 so they don't make a mistake. So which means you may be feeling sleepy. But because of the meeting you have, because you are afraid that Satan will kill you, you make sure you go on time. You see, that is what many Christians have not understood. That there is part of service that is sacrificial. There are three sisters here who live at, Newtown? Ashaman. Yet, they are almost the first to be here in church every single time. Almost the first to be in church every single time from Ashaman. That's when I noticed that lateness is an attitude. It's not an event. Lateness is an attitude. If you don't kill, you know, some people say, the reason why I'm late is because I don't have a car. I'm telling you, the day you have a car, you still come late. It's an attitude. We serve God sacrificially. Listen, there is sacrifice involved in our service. It will cost you your money. It will cost you your time. It will cost you your energy. It will cost you your effort. Listen to me carefully. If you are serving God and you mean business with Him, there must be a sacrifice involved in it. Sometimes I see the church workers, when we close service, you could see so much stress in their eyes. The last time I was speaking to one of them, he told me that now when he does something small, then he's tired. And I realized that, you see, these people have allowed themselves in the service of the Lord. They've given themselves to the work so much that the work is overwhelming them. I remember those times, the ministers, we had Friday all nights, every Friday for 4 years. And those times it was not as it was before. Those times from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., we are on a feet praying. Meanwhile, we do evening service. We close service at 9 p.m. and then they rest for 1 hour from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. We are praying. By the time you go, your whole Saturday is spoiled. I lost friends because of all night. I missed appointments. I missed weddings because of all night. Listen, there is a certain sacrifice that is in service. Many Christians don't understand. Things don't just happen. You will have to give up something for something. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, he died by faith. His sacrifice was by faith. Because it is possible a person can know he's dead and still not believe. He died knowing that at least if someone believes, the person will have eternal life. There is sacrifice in serving God. So hear me carefully. What brought about our salvation was sacrifice. What builds on that salvation is sacrifice. The one that gave his life, gave it sacrificially. How come it's only your hand that is serving him, but your money is not serving him? There's a problem. Some of you will never give in the house of God. You will never support any project in the house of God. It's only about you, your project, your agenda. Listen to me. Your pastor is an example to you so that if Jesus is not around, you can look at him to pattern after your life. Hear me carefully. Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. So there are men who can be examples. I had every right to build a house. I had all the rights to do certain things for myself. But I chose. I can't do them now. I sat my wife down. I said, baby, where we are going as a church, we have to sacrifice. Listen, if you are a pastor and you don't believe in your ministry enough to sacrifice it, nobody will sacrifice. So I decided, you can ask my wife, the monies that she sees that goes into the lives of other people and projects in this house, you have no idea. Sometimes doing her hair becomes a problem, so she has to fund for it. Taking care of the house. Because the money will come, but the money doesn't stay in the house. We serve God with money. And I'm saying these things to encourage you. I sold my Mercedes-Benz to help build God a house. Proceeds that came to me in 2023, everything went for the Lord. Because I understand the principle that we serve God sacrificially. Because Christianity was born on sacrifice. The foundation of Christianity is sacrifice. Which means if you want to build on Christianity, there must be an evidence. Where are your scars ever since you got born again? What are your scars? Show me. Show me the marks of your Christianity. We must see a mark on you. What did you forgo? What did you lose in serving God? What did you suffer in serving God? Some of you, the price you paid for serving God was rejection. Some of you, the price you pay for serving God was stress. Some of you, the price you pay was you lost certain properties. You lost certain friends. You lost certain doors. The reason why you had that job, yet you couldn't take it, was because you respect Jesus. Where are your scars? What are your scars? Can you give me one testimony of something you suffered for Jesus? One, just one. After you served God for 10 years, you have none. I can tell you several times. 14 years ago, 15 years ago, how I gave all my dresses to a cripple, how I gave my transportation to a man and walked home. I can remember all of them. I have sacrificed all the seeds that church members gave to me to spend. I gave it back to God because his house needed it. Huh? Things don't just happen. If you sit down and expect that, you see, most of you Christians are living in deception. You want God to do things for you, but there's no evidence of your scar. No evidence. No evidence. Have you been attacked by armed robbers because you're away coming to church? Have you lost your property because you closed church? You don't have an idea. If you started serving God, there is no scar. There is no pain you went through. There is no sacrifice you give. There is nothing that serves as a sacrifice before the Lord. Recheck your Christian life. All the apostles we are celebrating, Paul, Peter, Thaddeus, all of them, they all died for Jesus. They were crucified. Some were dragged on the floor. Go and check things that happened. Some were burnt alive. Some of them, lions were made to chew them alive. Some were buried alive because of their faith. And what are you saying as a Christian? What are you sacrificing as a child of God? I remember those times I would leave my wife at home every Friday. What if armed robbers go and attack her alone and the children? There is no security. That was a risk. I put my family into a big risk. No man in the house for close to 3 years. I remember I left my wife for 40 days in fasting. I left her. She only sees me on Sunday. And even on Sunday, it's just for 15 minutes. And she goes back. 40 days and not at home. What's your scar? What's your scar? Last week, somebody gave me a seed for the church. He said that he was going to do something with some euro someone gave to him. But when he heard that we said we are giving for a generator, he heard in himself that this is the time for me to give into this. He sacrificed his dollar, sacrificed his euro for God to have generator power here, to power for us to enjoy service. Hear me. These things are secrets Christians don't know. Show me your scar. Because let me tell you, the reason why your scars in Christ are important, because your scars are your rewards. Every scar that you suffer, when I speak of scar, I'm not speaking of physical one. The pain of sacrifice, that's what I'm talking about. That's your reward. If you can see your scars, it's your reward. So if you have no scar, you will only be in heaven without reward. Today, my wife, her reward is the sacrifice of allowing me to do the work of God without giving me problems. That's a reward. Because I tell people, according to human standard, if you look at me in the house, I'm not a responsible man. By human standard, I'm not responsible. If you measure me by human standard, I am not a responsible man. I don't buy anything for the children. I've not even bought a toy for them. I may just pay school fees and that's all. The rest, this woman sitting down, she's the one who does it. Yes. Everything. Everything. And how she does it, I don't understand. Not one day complain. That's so you don't take care of us. And you're only taking care of people. Sometimes I give people money, they don't know that that's my last. And she's going to do her hair. There's no money. Then she has to use her money to go and do her hair. You don't understand this thing. I'm telling you. She will buy provisions, buy rice. What again can we say? This one we don't tap. Some things are not tappable. Go and do likewise. No, I'm telling you. So listen to me. If there is no sacrifice in your life, you have not tasted real Christianity. Some of you only want to enjoy in Christ. You want to come and serve God. Within 2 weeks, a miracle will happen. Pah! When your contract, how much is a contract? 50 million Ghana cedis. Hey! That's not Christianity. I'm telling you. And the way God is watching you, when you contract 50 million, you will disappear. You live on earth. You live in space. You, 50 million. Now, 500 Christ, you share the other 500. You're a man, you're a man, you're a man. I know I'm teaching good. Am I blessing somebody now? So we serve the Lord sacrificially. Hey. Look at this all night you have been doing. By the time you finish, what's your experience? What do you mean? Man of God, how's it? You can't even make calls. But have you noticed that all night? Oh, I know your master. Oh, I know your master. Obekon, what? Why bazaar? Last car, last Emma. The last car last. God, what bread? Oh, before Miss Cocker, a bit cool last. That's the power of all night. If you don't clap, you're a suspect. Oh, you're a suspect. That means you hate me. You don't like me. Romans chapter 12, the verse 1. Romans 12, 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, by, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable worship or service. Beautiful. Finally, we serve the Lord with our family. We serve the Lord with our family. Joshua chapter 24, the verse 15. When you're serving God, involve your family. You are staying in the house with your sister. She doesn't go to church. And you go to church every Sunday and come back. You don't even share the word of God with her. You don't invite her to church. She says she won't come. You've not made any effort. Undadano. Unfa KFC undadano. No, see, we do everything possible. There are some of the ministers here, they go and iron for students to come to church. They iron for the students. Eh? They iron. And sometimes I wonder, a student, 18 years. 18 years. In the house, when she stays in the house, nobody does anything. Okabenku. Okabenku, Ochinam. But we have to iron for her because of Christ. They iron for them. Some we buy lunch. Meanwhile, I'm if you're tone beans. But we buy lunch. Hey! I'm teaching you though. We serve God with our families. He says, and if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. What are the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood? That's Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make sure anyone in your house is serving God. So we serve the Lord not alone, but with our family. Our whole children must serve the Lord. All what I taught you is just foundation to sanctuary protocols. We are now entering proper from next week. Are you blessed? All right.